Imagine standing in front of a massive corporate skyscraper, but instead of a single glass front door with a security guard, there are tens of thousands of invisible portals just scattered all over the building.
Right, just everywhere.
Yeah, and every single second of the day, thousands of employees, remote contractors, third-party vendors, and even automated bots are just walking in and out of these portals.
Changing floors, swapping access badges, opening locked filing cabinets.
Exactly, and modifying highly sensitive financial records while they're at it. So put yourself in the shoes of the person who has to know exactly who is in which room at any given microsecond.
Which is, physically impossible for a human being to do.
Right. Not only that, but you have to be able to prove to a federal government auditor, like 6 months from now, that every single person in that building had a legitimate, legally defensible reason to be there.
Yeah, if you rely on manual checks for that, or even basic spreadsheets to track all of it, the entire building security basically collapses within days. Someone keeps a master key they shouldn't have, they leave the company, and suddenly, your organization is dealing with a catastrophic data breach or a massive compliance fine.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're focusing on an incredibly detailed 2026 career guide titled How to Become a SailPoint Developer, the complete 2026 career guide for India.
It's a great read.
It really is. And for you, the listener, if you've been trying to map out a high-paying, intensely future-proof career path in the tech sector, consider this your ultimate blueprint.
Oh, for sure.
Our mission today is to demystify this highly niche yet ridiculously lucrative IT role. We're going to explore the mechanics of why the demand for this specific skill is so drastically outrunning the supply, and we're going to break down the exact steps you need to take to break into it. So, okay, let's unpack this. The core premise we're looking at in our source material is that identity has quietly become the absolute front line of enterprise security.
Yeah, well, I'd go so far as to say it is the only front line left.
Really, the only one.
Yeah, think about how we used to approach enterprise security even just a decade ago. The strategy was to build a massive firewall, essentially a digital moat around the corporate castle.
Right. Keep the bad guys out.
Exactly. Once you were inside the network, you were trusted. But the modern corporate castle doesn't exist anymore. Employees are sitting in coffee shops, applications are hosted in AWS or Azure, and sensitive data is scattered across 50 different SaaS platforms.
You can't draw a perimeter around a cloud.
No, you can't. So the new security perimeter isn't a network boundary at all. It's the identity of the user.
Which brings us to the actual problem the SailPoint developer is hired to solve. Because before we get into the wild market demand and the salary bands, you really have to understand the mechanics of what happens inside a large company every day. In corporate terms, they call this the joiner mover lever process, right?
Yeah, the JML process. Let's break that down with a scenario because the complexity here is what actually creates the job.
Okay, lay it on me.
So let's say a woman named Sarah gets hired in the marketing department. That's the joiner phase. IT has to create her email, but they also have to give her access to Salesforce, the marketing analytics dashboard, maybe the corporate intranet.
Fair enough.
Then 6 months later, she gets promoted to a management role in finance. That's the mover phase.
And this is where things usually break down, right? Like, IT might remember to give her access to the finance software, but they almost always forget to remove her old marketing access.
Precisely. Now she has accumulated access to both departments. In the auditing world, we call this a toxic combination of access.
Oof. Toxic combination. That sounds bad.
It is. She could, hypothetically, create a fake marketing vendor in the system and then use her new finance permissions to approve a payment to that fake vendor.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So a SailPoint developer builds the automated logic that prevents that toxic combination from ever existing in the first place.
Exactly. When HR updates her title to finance, the SailPoint system automatically detects the change, provisions her finance access, and ruthlessly revokes her marketing access.
And then finally, when she leaves the company, the leaver phase, the system instantly severs all access across tens of thousands of apps, so she can't take proprietary data with her to a competitor.
Right.
Instantly.
I love thinking about this role as being like a hyper-intelligent, incredibly bureaucratic bouncer at the world's most complex corporate nightclub.
That's actually a great way to look at it.
You aren't just standing at the front door checking IDs. You're constantly monitoring who goes into the VIP room, who's allowed in the kitchen to see the recipes, and you are tossing people out the absolute second they quit their job.
What's fascinating here is that this role forces you to sit at a highly unique intersection of disciplines.
How so?
Well, you're not just a pure software engineer sitting in a dark room writing code. You are standing directly at the crossroads of cybersecurity, software engineering, and business process design.
Because you're connecting so many different departments?
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Unlike a general application developer who might, you know, build a standalone mobile app for customers, a SailPoint developer works at the foundational infrastructure layer. You're taking HR systems like Workday or SuccessFactors and forcing them to talk to underlying directories like Microsoft Active Directory.
And then linking all of that to downstream business applications.
Right. You have to normalize massive amounts of really messy data across all of those completely different systems.
And they're building these solutions on specific enterprise platforms. The guide highlights SailPoint's Identity IQ, which is their massive on-premise workhorse, and Identity Security Cloud, their newer SaaS platform.
Yep, the developers write the rules, the workflows, and connectors that enforce role-based access control, or RBAC.
But I want to tie this back to something you mentioned earlier about auditors. The guide makes a point that this work isn't just about keeping hackers out, it's literally about keeping the CEO out of jail.
Yeah, that is barely an exaggeration. The code a SailPoint developer writes provides the literal mathematical audit evidence from major global compliance frameworks.
Like SOX and GDPR.
Exactly. We're talking about the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, or SOX, which regulates financial reporting, IPAW for healthcare data privacy in the U.S., GDPR in Europe, and specifically for our context here, India's Digital Personal Data Protection Act, the DPDP Act.
Right, which is huge right now.
When external auditors from a firm like Deloitte or PwC come knocking, they don't just ask, hey, are you keeping data safe? They say, prove to me that only these five specific accountants had access to this ledger on this specific Tuesday.
And the SailPoint platform generates that proof.
Exactly.
So because the cost of failing a compliance audit is so devastating, the market has clearly placed a massive premium on the people who understand this machinery.
Oh, absolutely.
Which brings us to the money. Who is actually hiring for this bouncer, and what are they paying? The guide outlines three structural forces driving demand right now. First is sheer digital transformation companies are just managing exponentially more applications than they were even 5 years ago. Second are those strict global regulators enforcing things like the DPDP Act. And third is a board-level mandate to adopt zero-trust architecture.
And we should probably clarify zero trust because it has really become a terrible marketing buzzword.
Yeah, what does it actually mean mechanically?
Mechanically, zero trust means the network assumes you are a hostile actor, even if you have the right password.
Wow.
Oh. It means no access is ever assumed. Every single request for data must be continuously verified against governance policies. Implementing that requires a massive, incredibly complex identity engine running in the background.
And the financial numbers attached to those three forces are staggering. The global identity governance and administration market, the IGA space, was valued at roughly $7.95 billion in 2024.
Right.
But by 2033, industry projections have it hitting $27.11 billion.
Which is a compound annual growth rate of almost 15%.
14.9%, yeah. And the source material highlights that India is capturing an outsized share of this work. Global capability centers, or GCCs, are just booming across tech hubs like Hyderabad, Bengaluru, Pune, and Chennai.
Actually, let me stop you there for a second to explain what a GCC actually is, because it's crucial for the listener to understand the shift in the Indian job market right now.
Go for it.
Historically, global companies would just outsource basic IT support to third-party vendors in India to save money.
Right, the traditional outsourcing model.
Exactly. But a global capability center is fundamentally different. It is a captive in-house engineering hub owned entirely by the global parent company.
Oh, so they aren't contractors.
No, they're direct employees. Target, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. They are building their own massive engineering teams in India to handle core critical infrastructure, not just low-level support.
That distinction makes the hiring landscape make a lot more sense. We're seeing massive hiring from the BFSI sector, banking, financial services, and insurance building out these GCCs.
Yep.
Plus, you have the giant IT consulting firms like TCS, Infosys, and Deloitte hiring in bulk to service clients who, you know, can't afford their own capability centers.
Exactly.
But let's look at the salaries, because I have to admit, my BS detector was going off when I read this section.
I get that a lot with these numbers.
According to the 2026 guide, a fresher with 0 to 2 years of experience is looking at 4.5 to 8 lakhs per annum.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-level, at 3 to 5 years, jumps to 9 to 18 LPA. Senior developers are sitting at 18 to 30 LPA, and lead architects with 10-plus years are commanding 30 to 55-plus LPA.
Yep, those are the numbers.
Okay, I have to push back here. These numbers are significantly higher than what a standard full-stack web developer makes with the exact same years of experience. Is this just a temporary hype bubble, or is there a mechanical reason they're paid this kind of premium?
It is entirely structural, and if you're listening to this wondering if the bottom is going to fall out of this market, you can breathe easy. It really comes down to risk mitigation versus feature development.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when a company hires a general full-stack developer to build a new feature on a website, the worst-case scenario if they write bad code is usually like a buggy web page, a delayed product launch, or maybe a degraded user experience.
Right. Annoying, but rarely fatal.
Exactly. But if a SailPoint developer makes a mistake, if they write a flawed bean shell rule that accidentally grants system administrator rights to a junior employee, that overprivileged account becomes a vector for ransomware.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it could literally shut down a global bank's trading floor or result in a failed compliance audit that triggers tens of millions of dollars in regulatory fines.
So the premium isn't just for coding ability. It's an insurance policy against existential disaster.
Exactly that. You're paying for a developer who understands the blast radius of their code and the talent pool of people who understand both Java programming and enterprise compliance frameworks is incredibly shallow. High stakes plus low supply equals premium salaries.
All right, I think we have everyone's attention with those numbers, so let's pivot it to the journey itself. If a listener wants to acquire these skills, what is the actual roadmap? The guide breaks down the core technical stack. You need Java, something called Bean Shell, SQL for database queries, XML, JSON, and REST APIs.
Let's actually demystify Bean Shell quickly, because it sounds super intimidating.
Yeah, what is that?
Bean Shell is really just a lightweight scripting language that uses Java syntax. In the older on-premise Identity IQ platform, you aren't compiling massive Java applications. Instead, you're writing small snippets of bean shell code, little logical rules that run inside the SailPoint software to manipulate data. If you know basic Java, you basically already know bean shell.
Good to know. And the timeline they give is pretty aggressive. They suggest that a fresher starting from absolute scratch could become interview ready in 6 to 9 months of focused study.
Yeah, and if you already have an IT background and know your way around Java and SQL, you can compress that to 3 to 6 months.
But if you're sitting there listening to this, staring at a list of Java and API requirements, it's easy to feel a huge wave of imposter syndrome. So let me ask the question everyone is thinking. Do I need to be a hardcore elite software engineer who crushes complex algorithms on leak code all day to survive this job?
Not even remotely.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge relief for a lot of people transitioning from other IT roles like system administration or quality assurance.
So you don't need to be a software architect.
No, you need a working knowledge of Java. By that, I mean you need to be able to read existing code, write basic classes, work with data collections like lists and maps, and, you know, understand how to handle exceptions or errors.
Okay, that sounds manageable.
Yeah. SailPoint provides a massive pre-built framework. Your job is usually just to write small snippets of logic to extend that framework or to map data from one format to another.
Which brings us to the golden rule outlined in the guide. You cannot learn this by just reading the documentation or watching videos.
No, you absolutely cannot.
You have to build a personal lab. You need to spin up a virtual box or a cloud virtual machine, install the Identity IQ software, and connect it to a small Active Directory instance. The author states that skipping this step is the number one reason learners stall out and fail interviews. Why is the lab so critical?
Because in an interview for a governance role, theoretical knowledge is practically useless. The interviewer doesn't care if you can recite the textbook definition of an API.
Yeah.
They want to know if you can actually configure a delimited file connector.
Let's pause right there. Explain what a delimited file connector actually is mechanically.
Sure. Let's say a company has a 20-year-old legacy HR system that is so old it can't talk to modern web APIs.
Okay, pretty common.
Right. The only way to get data out of it is to have it spit out a giant text file every night at midnight where every employee's data is separated by commas or pipe characters. That is a delimited file.
Okay.
As a developer, you have to build a connector within SailPoint that ingests that raw, ugly text file, reads the commas, parses out the names and job titles, and translates that into access rights in the modern cloud environment.
I see.
If you've only read about that process in a PDF, you will stumble in an interview. But if you've actually built it in your personal lab, broken it, and fixed it, you can speak from muscle memory.
Yeah.
Employers hire based on demonstrated configuration skill.
Makes total sense. The guide also points out certifications, specifically the SailPoint Certified Identity IQ Engineer credential for the on-premise side, or the Identity Security Cloud Engineer cert for the SaaS platform.
Yep.
But it emphasizes that the cert gets you past the HR filter. The lab experience gets you the job offer.
100%.
So let's assume I've built my lab, I know my Java, and I'm looking at the broader market. I see Okta everywhere. I see CyberArk. If I'm dedicating 6 months of my life to mastering SailPoint, how do I know I'm betting on the right horse? Are these platforms competing to kill each other?
This is a classic point of confusion for newcomers. The short answer is no. They aren't trying to kill each other. They solve fundamentally different parts of the security puzzle.
Okay, let's look at SailPoint versus CyberArk first.
Sure. SailPoint governs who has access to what across the entire workforce of, say, 50,000 employees. CyberArk focuses almost exclusively on privileged access management, or PAM.
PAM.
Yeah, they protect the keys to the kingdom, the highly sensitive administrator passwords, database root access, and server credentials used by maybe a few hundred IT staff.
So they actually have to work together. Like, SailPoint governs the regular employee, but if an IT worker needs the root password, SailPoint runs the approval workflow to decide if they're allowed to ask CyberArk for that password.
Exactly. Then you have SailPoint versus Savant. Now, this is a more direct competition.
Really?
Yeah, Savant's a very strong challenger that offers a cloud-native platform combining governance and native cloud PAM. However, SailPoint remains the mature category leader.
Because they've been around longer.
They have a massive, entrenched footprint in Fortune 500 companies with complex on-premise legacy systems. That massive footprint translates directly into a larger volume of job openings and implementation projects for developers.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. SailPoint versus Okta. Everyone knows Okta. When I log into my work laptop, I see the Okta screen.
Right. Everyone sees Okta.
Okta is access management single sign-on and multi-factor authentication. Their entire job is to let users sign in securely and quickly. But SailPoint focuses on governance.
Right. Think of Okta as the passport control agent at the border.
Okay.
When you hand them your passport, Okta checks the photo and confirms, yes, you are who you say you are. You can enter the country.
And SailPoint.
SailPoint is the massive bureaucratic government database sitting hundreds of miles away that dictated what kind of visa you were granted in the first place, how long you're allowed to stay, and what cities you're legally permitted to visit. Okta opens the front door. SailPoint tells Okta which interior doors your badge is allowed to unlock once you're inside.
That is a great analogy. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, for a listener heading into a job interview, understanding these distinctions is what separates a junior order taker from a senior engineer.
Absolutely.
A junior developer only knows how to, like, click buttons inside the SailPoint interface.
Yeah.
But if you can sit across from a hiring manager and articulate the mechanics of how SailPoint feeds authorization data into Okta or how it triggers a CyberArk vault, you're demonstrating true architectural maturity.
And that holistic understanding of the enterprise ecosystem is exactly what unlocks those 30 lakh plus senior architecture roles we talked about earlier.
So we've mapped out the what, the why, the how, and the competitive landscape. Let's wrap up this roadmap by looking at the horizon. If someone is going to invest 6 to 9 months of their life learning this, they need to know this job will actually still exist in 2030.
It definitely will.
Well, what does the future of identity governance look like? The guide points to 3 massive shifts. The first is a structural migration. Companies are desperately trying to move off their heavy on-premise Identity IQ installations and migrate into SailPoint's SaaS-based Identity Security Cloud.
And that migration alone is just a gold mine for developers.
Why is it so hard?
You can't just copy and paste legacy, highly customized bean shell code into a modern API-first SaaS platform. It requires complex re-engineering that translates to years of guaranteed project work just migrating existing customers to the cloud.
The second trend is the adoption of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, guidance on zero trust architecture, specifically SP 800-207. This is moving the industry away from simple access management toward continuous verification.
Yes, rather than checking your passport once at 9 a.m. and trusting you for the rest of the day, the system is now expected to constantly evaluate your context.
Like where you're logging in from?
Exactly. Are you logging in from a new country? Is your laptop suddenly missing its antivirus software? Are you downloading an unusually large amount of data? The governance engine has to be able to ingest that continuous stream of behavioral data and instantly revoke access if the risk score gets too high.
Which brings us to the third trend, and I have a huge question about this.
Go for it.
The guide highlights the explosion of machine identities, non-human accounts, and AI agents. We keep talking about Sarah from marketing joining and leaving. The entire joiner, mover, leaver process assumes human employees. But aren't we rapidly moving toward a reality where the vast majority of users on a corporate network aren't even human beings?
Yes. I am so glad you brought this up because it is the single most critical shift in the industry right now. Look at any modern AWS or Azure cloud environment today. The human users are already vastly outnumbered by machine identities.
Really? Vastly outnumbered?
Oh, without a doubt. We're talking about service accounts, API keys, automated deployment bots, and increasingly autonomous AI agents. These non-human entities need access to databases, they need to read sensitive files, and they need to execute code to do their jobs.
And a machine doesn't have an HR file. If an AI agent goes rogue, there's no manager to fire it.
And that is the terrifying part for a compliance auditor. An AI agent operates millions of times faster than a human.
Right.
If a human accountant decides to steal data, they might download a few files an hour. If a machine identity is compromised by a hacker, it can exfiltrate a billion records in 3 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Developers who spend time right now, early in their careers, figuring out how to extend governance platforms to manage and audit machine identities, they're going to command outsized, almost untouchable salaries by 2028. It is the absolute frontier of cybersecurity.
Okay, let's take a breath because we have covered a tremendous amount of ground today. So what does this all mean?
It's a lot to take in.
It really is. If you're listening to this on your commute or at your desk, mapping out your next major career move, here are your core takeaways from the 2026 guide. First, respect the fundamentals. Do not jump straight into complex governance theory until you've built a solid foundation in Java and SQL.
Very true.
Second, theory is useless without execution. You have to build a working personal lab. It's the single best way to build muscle memory and prove to an employer that you can actually configure the software. Third, dual fluency is your superpower strive to understand both the legacy on-premise platforms and the modern cloud SaaS platforms, because migrating between the two is where the money is.
Absolutely.
And finally, if you're hunting for your first role, aim your resume at the BFSI sector or the major IT service firms. They have the capability to hire and train at scale, which gets your foot in the door of a highly lucrative global career path.
And, you know, as you think about taking that very first step and spinning up your first lab, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, building on that concept of machine identities.
Okay, let's hear it.
Imagine a corporate network just 5 years from now. In this network, autonomous AI agents outnumber human employees 10,000 to 1.
Insane.
Each of those AI agents has the programmatic ability to spin up its own sub-agents, request its own server access, and perform complex data analysis at the speed of light. If the SailPoint developer is the bouncer of the enterprise, what happens to your job when you're no longer checking human ID cards at the front door, but you're instead trying to govern a massive, invisible swarm of autonomous code that changes its state and its access needs every single millisecond?
Wow.
Who really controls the enterprise at that point?
That is a wild, slightly terrifying image to end on. The corporate bouncer of the future regulating an invisible swarm of AI. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of identity governance. To you, the listener, keep exploring, keep building those labs, and we'll catch you next time.